12th verse na. Oh my
god.
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
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 Morning we discussed the first 11 verses. So we have seen how Sukadeva Goswami glorified Parikshit Maharaj's questions and his qualities as Mahabhaga, Bhagavatottama. Pade pade nutanayasya bhikshnam. The enthusiasm of Parikshit Maharaj, the Krishna Katha, the topics of Krishna are appearing newer and newer. And because he is a Mahabhagava and Bhagavatottama, he is able to relish Krishna Katha as if he is hearing them very newly, freshly, like that. So, this quality of Parikshit Maharaj is because of his being Sarabhartam, the essence-seeking Paramahamsa, like that. Just like a materialistic person addicted to sense enjoyment with the opposite sex, perceives the association of opposite sex newer and newer. The other day in the junior batch we were discussing Pururava Urvasi section. So although he had sufficient sense enjoyment through Urvasi, Pururava is constantly looking forward for it. So there is no satiation. Till that obsession or infatuation stage is gone out of his mind, there is lot of satisfaction that he derives. It always looks new and new. So similarly, a Paramahamsa will constantly hear Krishna Katha and always sees that as new, like that. So that kind of graphic comparison is given. So this is one comparison where we can very easily relate to. Then such eagerness and attentiveness in the process of Shravanam will inspire the gurus to reveal all confidential truths about Krishna, Krishna's qualities and pastimes to such a devotee. So the eagerness of audience would inspire the speaker to reveal more, to explain more, right? So this is that's why Bhruyuhu Snigdhasya Sishyasya Gurava Guhyam Apyuta. So in this context we also recollected Suta Goswami's qualities, Vetattvam Soumya Tatsarvam Tattvatas Tadanugrahat Bhruyuhu Snigdhasya Sishyasya Gurava Guhyam Apyuta. When the disciple has sincerity and eagerness in hearing and he has these qualities of Snigdha and Soumya, means simplicity and submissiveness, then all gurus would be happy to give him all knowledge. So next we have Then Sukadeva Goswami began this whole pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela. So Krishna brought all the cowherd boys on the bank of Yamuna just after killing Aghasur, and he showed the beautiful sandy beach which is very clean, like the pure mind of an uncontaminated soul. Oftentimes the lakes and rivers which are very clear and transparent, they are compared to the minds of pure devotees. So morning we didn't discuss that analogy. That comes in Anandavardhanavan Jambu. So, like that. And in Anandavardhanavan Jambu, one more comparison is given. The entire sandy beach is described to be like mother's lap. Just for a small child and infant baby, mother's lap is so comfortable. So like that, the sandy beach of Yamuna is so comfortable for all the gopas. So that was the picnic spot. So, and also there are tall trees, very tall trees on the bank of Yamuna, and all of them are extending their branches and naturally creating a canopy around all this, above all these boys, right, so that they get a nice shade, they will be protected from sun. It's little late afternoon, their lunch got delayed because just now they went into Aghasura's mouth and then they couldn't come out. So Krishna had to preserve all that. So that picnic spot is compared like that. And later we have seen how Krishna was sitting right in the middle of this entire assembly of gopas, who are like hundreds and thousands. And they were, one comparison we have discussed in the morning, where Krishna is in the center, he is dressed in yellow, and all the other gopas are dressed in various colored dhotis and uttariyas, and it's like a multicolored lotus flower. There are thousands of petals in that lotus flower. Krishna is in the center of, is the center of lotus, and everybody was seeing Krishna, and Krishna exhibited his arms and eyes and faces and hands and legs in all directions, so that every single gopa sitting in the circle was understanding that I am just in front of Krishna. All the others are little ahead, but I am just in front of Krishna. And this also, this whole arrangement, seating arrangement, is also compared to sun and sunshine. It's like sun, the shining sun in the, is in the middle, and so many rays and molecules, sun rays would just emanate from it. So Anandamrinam Champu, this beautiful comparison comes. Krishna is in the middle like a sun, and all the gopas are like sun rays, and also the rays from the center towards the outer side of this diameter. So how they are looking, there are gradations of colors. Krishna's most intimate gopas, they were sitting close to him. That's like first circle, smallest circle around Krishna. So they are dressed in red. And as the circles are just going outer, right, outside the center, they were wearing orange, then yellow, then green, then blue. So like that, all the rainbow colors are seen, right, in these multiple circles. So Krishna is in the middle, right, emanating this rainbow. So like that. Violet is also mentioned. And because all of them love Krishna, and Krishna loves all of them, due to Krishna's Sarvasankalpa Shakti, everybody was facing Krishna and Krishna is facing everybody. So the maximum display of Krishna's opulence and transcendental, inconceivable potency happens in relation with his devotees. To please his devotees, Krishna exhibits maximum opulence. To kill demons also exhibits opulence, but it's not much. Compared to the opulence that Krishna exhibits to please his devotees, the opulence that he exhibits to maintain this material world or create this material world or annihilate the demons or establish dharma, all these are like quite secondary opulences. They're not much. Right? And also there is a beautiful phenomena in all the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna, especially, that all the shaktis of Krishna are constantly there around Krishna without disturbing him. Krishna is absorbed in his mood of a child, whether it's in infancy stage or boyhood, means balya stage or pauganda stage or even yavana stage or kaishora stage. Krishna is absorbed in that pastimes, in that mood. So all the servants are subservient to Krishna's ultimate shakti called Kripa Shakti. Right? That's like on a, that's like one angle of looking at it. But ultimately all these servants would, all these shaktis of Krishna would start operating being instigated by his Ichcha Shakti. Ichcha Shakti begins. Ichcha Shakti is first. So now you can see the difference between these two. Ichcha Shakti, Kripa Shakti. All shaktis of Krishna start functioning being instigated by Ichcha Shakti. But what takes control, what makes Krishna do certain things even if he doesn't want, is his Kripa Shakti. That's what happened in Damodar Leela. In Damodar Leela, Krishna wanted to play with gopas. He wanted to steal butter. And Mashada Mother Yashoda is tying up Krishna. So Krishna's Ichcha Shakti or Satya Sankalpa Shakti, whatever he desires should become true. So that called Ubhuda Shakti, right, to manifest in Krishna's belly. And Yashodamayi could not bind, and ultimately Krishna felt a little compassionate towards his mother. So when Krupa Shakti took over, all this Vibhuta Shakti, then Satya Sankalpa, all of them just dispersed. Okay. So Krishna's Shaktis, we can learn a lot of service attitude from Krishna's Shaktis, that all the Shaktis of Krishna are looking forward to render service to Krishna. They have a lot of eagerness to serve. But they render service in such a way that they don't disturb Krishna's mood. They don't disturb Krishna's mood of infancy or his relationship with the gopas or gopis or mothers. So without disturbing, as soon as Krishna desires something, the Satya Sankalpa Shakti or Ichha Shakti will just communicate that Shakti to invoke. Krishna, now we will see in some time that Krishna would go and search for these gopas because Brahma just kidnapped them. Then Krishna desired to know where are they. Immediately his Jnana Shakti came. Right? Jnana Shakti came and then revealed to Krishna that they are kidnapped by Brahmaji. Then Krishna desired that, okay, even if he revealed, I should be absorbed in my mood of infancy. Right? I should be absorbed in my mood as a 5-year-old child who is bewildered when my friends are not around. Then Jnana Shakti went away. Then what happened? Krishna is looking as if bewildered, he is looking here and there. And Brahmaji is getting more bewildered by seeing this. Oh, Krishna is just seeing like that. Right? Then Krishna thought, oh, what will happen to my mothers? If all these boys are missing, all the mothers of Vrindavan will feel very unhappy. Then Krishna's opulence just manifested. And so many gopas and so many calves, which are exact replicas of their original counterparts, so they are manifested by Krishna. Right? So like that. They don't disturb Krishna. Just like obedient servants, sincere servants, they are not looking for attention. So whenever a servant is there, you call that servant. So the master calls the servant and asks him, you be here. Okay, I have some meeting or some interaction with my intimate friend here. So you be there. But this servant may not get service for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years also. Krishna's all Shaktis are like servants. They don't get service. Sometimes Krishna may not exhibit certain opulence or Krishna may not want to do some activity. So one Shakti does not get even service only. But that doesn't mean that Shakti becomes spaced out or not so alert. The Shaktis, all Shaktis are always alert, looking forward for opportunities to serve Krishna. And although they have so much eagerness to serve Krishna, they don't come forward to disturb Krishna. I am here, use me. They don't say like that. They are waiting. Whenever Ichha Shakti gives indication, then only they will come forward. Otherwise, very alertly, 24/7, they are just there, just to serve Krishna. And although they don't get any service, they don't mind. Their waiting is their service. That's what happened in Trinavarta Lila. That's what happened in Trinavarta Lila when Krishna was taken up 800,000 miles high in the sky. Krishna was absorbed in the mood of an infant and he was thinking, whenever children are lifted up, they just hold the hand tight, right? Small baby, with their tender hand, they just hold tight the fingers. So like that, Krishna, out of fear of altitude, he was holding Trinavarta's neck tightly. And that fellow died, right? When Krishna was hanging around Trinavarta's neck, he was looking like a locket made of blue sapphire. It was shining so nicely. But although his size is also like a locket only. So for a person who is 6 feet tall, a locket of hardly, 6 mm stone, it doesn't make much heaviness. But although Krishna was looking like that only in comparison to Trinavarta's size, Trinavarta was feeling that he is like a sapphire mountain. A mountain of sapphire is hanging around my neck and he is unable to scream. He is unable to speak out. He is unable to tolerate the pain, but although you have lot of pain, when you scream out, that pain is slightly pacified, right? You have some, freedom to just scream out. But Trinavarta, he is unable to tolerate pain and he is unable to scream also. He is unable to bear the weight, he is unable to throw the child away also. You are lifting something very heavy, you just drop it, huh? There's a relief. He is unable to lift, he is unable to drop it also. Same thing happened with Putana also. Putana is unable to hold Krishna to her chest. She is saying, leave me child, but he is not leaving. Angam yasyah samakramya bhagavan api tatstanu. And she is unable to leave. So all these are Krishna's absorption in his mood as a child. But all the shaktis, opulences are also he is manifesting. So the sweetness of Vrindavan is, Krishna manifests unlimited opulence in Vrindavan also. It's not that Krishna is so simple only and innocent only and there are no opulences in Vrindavan. In fact, the opulences or shaktis that Krishna manifests in Vrindavan are way superior, and the quality of that exhibition is like much superior to what he does in Dwaraka or Mathura or other places, even Vaikuntha also. However, the speciality of Vrindavan is, although he exhibits a lot of power and opulence and his opulence, that never disturbs his mood as an infant or a child, and that never disturbs the Vrajavasi's mood also. Krishna lifts Govardhan and right in front of all these Vrajavasis, he's standing for 7 days and seven nights. That did not create even slightest transformation in the attitude of all these Vrajavasis. They were still loving Krishna only. And as soon as he came out, all the gopis, they just caught Krishna's hand and hey, this hand only lifted Govardhan, let's massage this hand. All the gopis are just massaging that hand. Right? And when Devaki and Vasudeva saw Krishna killing Kamsa, they were thinking that they were shocked with Aishwarya. They could not come forward to embrace Krishna or kiss Krishna. But although Krishna exhibits such great opulence, he kills Aristas in front of everybody, he kills Keshi in front of everybody, no one takes Krishna seriously. That is speciality in Vrindavan. And Krishna exhibits all these opulences without changing his form or mood or exhibiting any kind of extra opulence. Only in Aghasura episode he just became a little big, but otherwise he is like that only. Shakatasura, he just touches, he just lifts his leg and then touches the hand cart and it just turns like this and then falls like this. How can an infant, 3 months old baby touch this cart and then it just goes like that? And he didn't consciously do that also. He just did it, just like it is natural for a small 3 months old baby to cry for mother's milk. That's all he did, nothing more. So these are special pastimes of Krishna. So in this context, Krishna is absorbed in eating food from the mouths of his gopa friends. They were tasting something. Oh, this is very good, Krishna, take it. Practically. So Krishna is eating all that, and all the people, demigods who are seeing this, they were like astonished. Brahmaji also has seen it. He was astonished. Right? So what will happen, we'll see later. So because all these gopas were absorbed in their sweet reciprocation with Krishna, they forgot the calves. Calves are roaming here and there. So that is 12th verse. Bharataivam vatsapeshu
Bharataivam vatsapeshu
Bhunjaneshvachyutatmasu
Bhunjaneshvachyutatmasu
Vatsastvantarvane duram
Vatsastvantarvane duram
Vivishustrunalobhitaha
Vivishustrunalobhitaha.
Oh Maharaj Parikshit, when the coward boys who knew nothing within the core of their hearts but Krishna were thus engaged in eating their lunch in the forest, the cows went far away, deep into the forest, being allured by the green grass.
So, they were, say, absorbed. Achyutatmasu. So, all these devotees, gopas, they become so absorbed in Krishna. Krishnatmanam na raja adadhurutsmayadya. Just like Vaikunthavasis are also absorbed in Krishna, no passionate desires for sensual enjoyment. Here, all these great gopa boys, they were also engaged in eating activities. Bhunjaneshu, their absorption in eating is actually achyutatmasu. Right? So they were not glorifying Krishna, they were not offering prayers to Krishna. So here the absorption in Krishna is of a different flavor. In Vaikuntha, they were absorbed in Krishna. Krishnatmanam narajada durusmaya there. Vaimanika salalana charitani shashvat is there. Then Yat Sankulam Haripadanati Matra Drishtair Vaidurya Marakata Hema Mayer Vimanair. So the absorption in Krishna is due to Krishna Katha in Vaikuntha, that we have seen in couple of verses. But here the absorption of all the gopas in Krishna is through the simple process of eating samosa and just having some fun of putting some bitter fruit inside the samosa and then giving to someone, and then that fellow keeps a face. As soon as you eat something bitter, the face expression will change like this. So that is their absorption. And that is also considered absorption in Krishna. They are in love with Krishna. They are not doing prajalpa. They are not doing time pass. But this, all these apparent simple childish activities are their absorption in achyuta. Achyuta atmasu. Vatsastu antarvane duram. And what happens when they were absorbed like this? Vatsa. All the calves. Vane duram, they just went deep into the forest. Why they went? Vivishus trona lobhitaha. Their lobha. There was greed in all these calves. For what? Trina. Trina is grass. So they were so greedy of grasses. So the simplicity of Vrindavan is they become greedy for grass. Right? They become thieves just for some butter. So for some buttermilk. That is simplicity. That is innocence of Vrindavan. So trina lobhitaha. तान दृष्ट्वा भय संत्रस्तान ऊचे कृष्णोस्य भीभयम् मित्राण्यासन् मा विरमते हानेष्ये वत्सकानहम्
कृष्ण saw that his friends the coward boys were frightened. He the fierce controller even of fear itself said just to mitigate their fear, "My dear friends, do not stop eating. I shall bring your calves back to this spot by personally going after them myself."
So they were absorbed in Krishna and this eating affair, having jokes with people, having jokes with Madhumangal. So calves went away. Suddenly they realized their calves are not around. They were supposed to be eating grass, soft durva grass, just close by. But they just went deep into the forest. Bhayasantrastan. They became so absorbed in fear now. Right, so this fear is out of affection for the calves, which are Krishna's calves. Right, so then uche krishnosya bhibhayam. Although they are bhaya santrastan, they can easily come out of that bhaya because bhibhayan is here. Right, so yet bhibheti swayam bhayam. So Krishna is fearful to the fear personified. So where is the question of fear when you are in the association of that kind of fearless person who can avoid your fearlessness? Abhayam, abhayam, ashokan, so there are two types of Bhagavat Prasada, right? That is freedom from lamentation and freedom from fear. Abhayan, ashokan, correct. Abhayan, ashokan. Whenever we are in Krishna's association, we take shelter of Krishna, the qualities are freedom from fear and freedom from lamentation. These two are very prominently seen in great devotees who have taken exclusive shelter of Krishna. These are considered Bhagavat Prasada. That comes in third canto. So, as soon as they became fearful, Krishna immediately said, "Mitranyasan ma viramati, ma viramati." Don't give any break. Do not stop. Ma virama. Viram means giving break, interval. Right? So, don't give any breaks in your eating pastime. Continue. Ma viramati. Hanishye vatsakan aham. Right? I will go. I will bring back all the calves. Don't worry. So he is one five-year-old boy, giving assurance to thousands of other boys that I will take care of the calves. You just relax. Right? So now, the confidence that you have in a person also depends on the magnitude of the work to be done. Right? So one person is giving assurance to them, "I will find out all these thousands of calves. You thousands of boys sit here and then eat." So one boy went. How much trust he has. How much trust all these boys have on this one boy, Krishna. And everybody agreed also. "Oh, you will bring calves, right? Okay. We'll continue prasad." So they said like that also. So Krishna could give that much trust. So although nobody accepts Krishna as God, there is complete dependence on Krishna. All these boys are completely dependent on Krishna. As soon as some calamity comes, immediately they will start calling Krishna. They depend on Krishna, but they don't consider him God. They beat him also. They wrestle with him also, and then they defeat him also. Right? And they make fun of him also. And they will threaten him also. We will not take you into our play. Get lost. Sometimes Krishna has to be fearful of these gopas, and then, no, please take me into the game. So he will say like that. So all this will happen with Krishna. But as soon as some calamity comes, he will immediately go towards Krishna and then, please help us. Right? So that is the unparalleled absorption of all the Vrajavasis in their specific relationship with Krishna. Sakhyarasa. Sakhyarasa means Sakhya has to be like this. Sakhya cannot be accompanied with so much of Aishwarya and other things. All the dependence is there, still there is no Aishwarya mood. That is the speciality of Vrindavan. So every single living entity is dependent on Krishna for its maintenance and survival, including Vrindavan also. Krishna is the maintainer and protector of all Vrajavasis. But nobody will see Krishna as God, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their specific relationship with Krishna is never compromised. So Krishna said, I will be sad if you stop eating. So please continue eating. I will go. So Krishna says, Prabhupada says, in the presence of Krishna's friendship, a devotee cannot have any fear. This fear arises because of lack of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there cannot be any fear. So again, you can say that why gopas are fearful when the calves are gone. So now this is the most important point. Apparently, many times you see that gopas are really fearful. If taking shelter of Krishna can relieve one from all fear, why can they be fearful? The pastime begins, Bhaya Santrastan. Bhaya Santrastan means they are totally absorbed in fear. Right? They are overwhelmed by fear. So why this kind of thing is coming? Unless they experience fear, unless they experience this kind of anxiety, the pastime is not relishable. You need to preserve the moods and human qualities of all these people. Krishna also exhibits his behavior as a human being. All the gopas also exhibit their behaviors as human being. Although they are like eternal associates of the Lord, residents of spiritual world, they are absorbed in the mood of a child or a human being, the childhood innocence and naughtiness, all these are there. Then only the whole pastime becomes relishable. So this is the influence of Leela Shakti. So the Leela Shakti influences everybody to be overwhelmed with all these emotions, anxieties. Sometimes gopas will speak lies. Sometimes gopas will tease. Whatever behavior you see in all these kids who are playing here in our thing, so that kind of behavior and behavioral patterns and dealings, they are present in Vrindavan gopas also. But that is transcendental, right? So unless this kind of simple human behavior is not present in them, the pastime is not relishable. Krishna also cannot relish, right? That's why the other day we were discussing about Mother Lakshmi's absorption, Mother Lakshmi's astonishment upon seeing Narasimhadev's form, right? So she is actually not seeing Narasimhadev's form for the first time, but because of the influence of Leela Shakti, there is an astonishment, right? So unless that kind of astonishment and surprise is there, so there is no actual relish in the whole pastime. So this also, in this chapter, Acharyas explain that. So the material ocean of fear, bhavambudhihi, becomes very easy to cross by the mercy of Supreme Controller. Samasritaya padapallavaplavam, Prabhupada quotes. So everyone therefore should take shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Person, who is the source of fearlessness. For them to be secure, they need to take shelter of Krishna. And all these gopas have taken shelter of Krishna. So there is no fear in them. 14th verse. Ityuktvadridari kunja. Gahvareshvatmavatsakan. Vichinvan Bhagavan Krishna. Sapani kavalo yayau.
Let me go and search for the cows, Krishna said. Don't disturb your enjoyment. Then, carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, immediately went out to search for the calls of his friends. To please his friends, he began searching in all the mountains, mountain caves, bushes and narrow passages.
So, iti uktvadri dari kunja. Uktva, iti uktva, by saying like this, he started searching everywhere, right? Adri is mountain. Then, dari kunja gahvareshu, the mountain caves and kunja bushes and gahvareshu, narrow pathways. He started searching everywhere. He already knows that all these calves were kidnapped by Brahmaji. But he is searching here. Unless this detail is there, there is no relish for Krishna also. He loves the calves and calves just disappeared from the scene. And he is also in anxiety to search where are the calves. So that anxiety is an expression of Krishna's love for the calves. If he does not search for the calves, how can he experience that love? How can he experience his love for the calves? Right? So you cannot, if you bring Aishwarya into picture, you cannot relish. Even Krishna also cannot relish this love and all these finer emotions and sentiments if he becomes aware of his godhood. He forgets his godhood. He likes to forget his godhood. Right? So he's on the top and everybody is below him only. So there is no enjoyment there. So he has to come down and everybody on the equal plane. Then there is lot of relish in this reciprocations. And he doesn't come on equal plane with everybody. Whoever is on the equal plane with Krishna, so that kind of, although there are gradations there, all of them are subordinate to Krishna only, still he comes on the same plane and then has exchanges with them. And he does it with only pure devotees. And he doesn't give that position to anyone so easily. Because when he brings someone on the equal plane and starts reciprocating on an equal plane, Krishna actually puts him under the control of that person. To be able to control Krishna is not an ordinary privilege. Bhaktim dadati karhichit smana bhakti yogam. Muktim dadati karhichit smana bhakti yogam. So he can give mukti very easily. Liberation jayega lelo. No problem. You want my form? Take. Sarupya mukti lelo. Sarishti mukti lelo. I'll give all appearances of mine. But I can never give you a position where you can control me. That is reserved for Vrajavasis. And such someone who is so exalted that he can actually follow in the footsteps of Vrajavasis can get that privilege of controlling Krishna on an equal plane. So all these Vrajavasis are not ordinary people. So iti uktva adri dari kunjaha gahavareshu atma vatsakan vichinvan bhagavan krishnaha sapani kavalo yayo. And although Krishna went out to search for these calves, he did not leave his curd race. So morning also we were discussing, right? Svapani kavalo yayo. The yogurt rice is still in his hand. Right? Pickle is not mentioned so much. Morning we were discussing, there was curd rice and in the middle there is amla pickle and lemon pickle. Right? So Krishna is just eating like this. So he took the same thing and then started searching also. We don't know. So he immediately went out to search, right, in all the narrow passages. So Prabhupada writes here that the Vedas assert that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do personally. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Technically he has nothing to do any work. Karmani anihasya. Aniha is, he is totally self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything for his satisfaction beyond himself. He doesn't have to execute any work. Namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spruha. I have lost all interest in doing any activity. Krishna says like that in Bhagavad Gita. But how much activity he is doing? Searching in narrow passages. One day you just misplace your mobile. You start searching whole ashram. How much anxiety it is. Krishna is searching all the forests of Vrindavan for his calves. You can just compare that with your anxiety of searching for your mobile within the ashram. Krishna is actually absorbed in that mood of searching for the calves. Even when in Damodar Leela, Yashodamai was feeding him milk and suddenly that Padmaganda milk is overflowing and then Yashodamai left there and then Krishna was alone there. So there Acharyas write, Jiva Goswami especially writes that Mrishashru, apparently they are fake tears. Otherwise how can there be tears in the eyes of the all blissful personality? technically there are no tears, but they are amrishashru. They are not fake tears, they are genuine tears. The proof that he gives is, these tears are genuine because nobody was there around Krishna to watch him. Your integrity is questioned by what you do when you are alone, right? So Krishna was alone at that time. So why should he fake tears? He was really feeling that my mother, I want to continue drinking milk from my mother, and my mother neglected me. When a small child of 3 years, 2 months, it is said that Damodar Leela happened when he was around 3 years, 2 months, like that. So when a 3-year-old child is neglected by his mother, especially when she is feeding milk, so what emotions the child go through, Krishna was exactly going through those emotions. And that too, this is not a relationship between a material mother and a material child, where the love and affection stays for maybe a decade or a couple of decades or maybe at the max one lifetime. So she is the eternal mother of Krishna. So how much emotions Krishna must be having for her. When she neglected, he was really crying, literally crying. Right? So unless he literally cries, unless he genuinely cries, he cannot experience that vatsalya rasa. So acharyas also say that Krishna's tears are directly in proportional to the extent of Mother Yashoda's love. To the extent Mother Yashoda loves Krishna, to that extent Krishna feels unhappy when Mother Yashoda neglects him. Right? So Krishna's feelings for a devotee depends on devotee's feelings for Krishna. Because Mother Yashoda loves him so much, Krishna is missing her so much. Right? So same thing here, he is searching everywhere. So he does not, he is doing everything through his energies, but here he took personal care to find the calves of his friends. This was Krishna's causeless mercy. Right? So he said, do not be afraid. When you take shelter of Krishna, there is no fear. Something for us to relate with. Now, Sanatana Goswami says, developing greed for grass by Brahma's will. All these calves developed greed for grass. They became Trinalobhita by Brahmaji's will. Now another point. How can Brahmaji's will influence the calves of Krishna? They are supposed to be influenced by Krishna's will, not Brahma's will. But it is Krishna's will only that Brahma desires to kidnap all these calves. So this Brahmaji's bewilderment is not on the level of we getting bewildered or someone else in this material world getting bewildered. So it is Krishna's will only that Brahma's pride has to be crushed. That's one aspect. That is another thing. But he also wanted to actually experience love of all the gopis of Vrindavan and cows of Vrindavan. So Krishna, when he does one thing, there could be like multiple reasons behind what he does. And that's why we need to see the pastime from different perspectives, different angles. Right? All these are simultaneously correct, although some of them may contradict each other also. You should have that intelligence to see one pastime at different levels and understand them from all directions, as acharyas are highlighting. So he says, O Bharata, Sukadeva Goswami cries out in grief because of the great misfortune that would arise amidst this great bliss. So far there is a wonderful... Now, you see, we just discussed that it is Krishna's desire. But in this situation also there is a lot of tragedy. All the gopas were absorbed, achyuta atmakan. They were absorbed in their relationship with Krishna. They were taking prasad with Krishna. Suddenly bhayasantrastan. So here achyuta atmakan, and what is that word? Bhunjaneshu achyuta atmashu. They were absorbed like this. In such moments of happiness and bliss, suddenly a tragedy came. Calves went away. They became bhayasantrastan. So this is, from this angle if you see, so it's like a big turning point. So you watch a movie, so very nice scene is going on, lot of happiness is going on. Suddenly somebody comes with a news that the hero got an accident, he got admitted ICU, right? King, 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 that kind of sounds will come, all these ECG signals are seen. Suddenly the scene turns into tragedy. All the audience in the hall become little... morose. So far they were laughing and then now they become little serious, right? So same thing. You see from first time from that perspective now. Unless we meditate on these small aspects of the changes of these emotions between verses, no? Then we can't just absorb into the mood of the past time. So we need to empathize with Sukadeva Goswami. Why Sukadeva Goswami is saying O Bharata here? Because Bharata Ivam, Bharata, 12th verse, Sanatana Goswami's commentary. Why he says that is, Sukadeva Goswami also became absorbed in this past time, and while describing, he felt, he was so ecstatic to describe Krishna reciprocating with this Gopas, and he was overwhelmed with sorrow and tragedy when he had to say that Brahmaji kidnapped the calves. Even Sukadeva Goswami also got absorbed. He also became very expressive and emotional. So that's why he said, oh, Parikshit Maharaj, you know what happened in this context. Calves were eluded by grass and they went away. So like that, he was also feeling like that. When this is expressed with feelings, then Parikshit Maharaj receives more impact. So, like that. This happens to fully dedicated devotees by the will of the Lord to manifest special rasa for them. Right? So Brahmaji's kidnapping is not a ordinary thing. We cannot minimize the position of Brahmaji. That same Brahmaji is Haridas Thakur. Right? So, next, in the 14th verse, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, commentary. Holding a lump of curd rice in his hand, Sapayani Kavala, he went off in order to eat a little while he was looking for the calves. This I already mentioned. And going to find the calves of other boys out of great affection as the prince of cowherds, he thought of those calves as his own. Thus the word Atma Vatsakan. So in the 14th verse, this word comes. Ucche Krishna Asya. Bhayam. Right? Mrityani Asi Viramate Hanyeshu Vatsakan Aham. Vatsakan Aham. My calves. She was thinking them as to be one's own. And Atma Vatsakan also comes in the second line of 14th verse. Okay, 15th verse. 15th verse is about Brahmaji's entry.
Ambho Janma Janis Tadantaragato Mayar Bhakasye Situr. द्रष्टुं मञ्जुमहित्वमन्यदपि तद्वत्सान् इतो वत्सपान् नीत्वा यत्र कुरुद्वहान्तरदधात् खेवत् स्थितो यत्पुरा दृष्ट्वा घासुरमोक्षणं प्रभवतः प्राप्तः परं विस्मयम्
महाराज परीक्षित ब्रह्मा हु रिसाइड्स इन द हायर प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम्स इन द स्काई had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Aghasura, and he was astonished. Now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power to seek the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with the ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, Brahma took all the boys and calves in another place. Thus he became entangled, for in the very near future, he would see how powerful Krishna was.
अंभो जन्म जनिस तदंतरगतो मायार्भकेशी सुतुर.
सो अंभो जन्म जनि मीन्स दैट ब्रह्माजी हु टुक बर्थ ऑन अंभोजा. अंबा इज वाटर. अंभोजा मीन्स दैट विच इज बॉर्न आउट ऑफ वाटर एंड ब्रह्माजी दैट इज लोटस एंड ब्रह्माजी इज बॉर्न आउट ऑफ दैट लोटस विच इज बॉर्न आउट ऑफ वाटर. सो अंभो जन्म जनिस तदंतरगतो सो नाउ हैज बिकम एंटैंगल्ड with the affairs of Krishna. So Maya Arbhakeshi, Maya Arbhakasya, of the boys made of Krishna's Maya. Now there are multiple explanations for this Maya Arbhaka.
Maya Arbhaka can mean that Brahmaji has stolen the boys or calves created by Krishna's Maya. Right? Just like Ravana has stolen Maya Sita, not original Sita. Similarly, Brahmaji has stolen Maya Gopas. and Maya Vatsas, not the original ones, right? So how can he create, exert his influence on the eternal associates of Krishna, right? That could not happen. Second way of understanding this is Mayarbhakasya means Maya Arbhaka. This refers to Krishna. Arbhaka is a boy. Mayarbhaka means Krishna, who had so many bewildering powers. Mayarbhaka. He has so many mayas, right? He can create maya like that. So he has a deceptive playfulness as a human child, right? But he is not like actually exactly a human child. So drashtum manju mahitvamanyadapitan vatsan ito vatsapan. So he has seen, drashtum means to see, manju mahitvam anyadapi. So manju means very pleasing, and mahitvam anyadapi. He has seen the pleasing glories of Krishna of just killing Aghasur, and he has seen so many other pleasing activities of Krishna. However, he had a desire to test Krishna. He wanted to actually understand, this definitely must not be Hari. He is not personality of Godhead. Otherwise, he doesn't get involved in eating such cheap food. Brahmaji is considering that which is coming out of the mouths of this gopas is not a very good food, proper food. How can Hari enjoy that kind of food? Wretched food. So because he is enjoying, he must not be Hari. Right? Or even if he is Hari, let me see if he is actually Hari. Otherwise, why would he eat like this? So this eating pastime bewildered Brahmaji. If Brahmaji could be bewildered by seeing one activity of Krishna like this, although he is the person who has actually invited Krishna, you come, descend, so that on behalf of earth he went and invited, right? He himself got bewildered. What to speak of us? We could also be bewildered by seeing activities of Krishna or his representatives, right? At our level, getting bewildered by seeing the activities of Krishna's representatives and Guru's representatives is more prominent, right? So when one activity is bewildering, there is a tendency in a neophyte sadhaka to forget all the wonderful activities that that personality only has done so far, right? So far he has done miracles, right? Not in a sense of mystic power or some material miracles. He has influenced so many people to take up to spiritual lives, or he taught me so many spiritual principles. He allowed me to engage in so many services, right? So like that, a person has contributed a lot for my spiritual progress, right? So here, Brahmaji was enlightened by whom? Krishna. Krishna taught Bhagavatam to Brahmaji, and Brahmaji is getting bewildered by Krishna's activities. His Bhagavatam teacher, right? And then he wants to test his own teacher. So our Brahmaji wanted to test Krishna, right? Let me see, is he really Krishna? So bewilderment can happen at Brahmaji's level also. Who are we? So drashtum manju mahitvam. See, when the consciousness is proper, we get attracted and more enchanted towards the activities of Krishna, pleasing activities of Krishna. Manju mahitvam anyadapi. But that same activity can inspire bewilderment in the heart of a person if the consciousness is disturbed. Right? So now we are seeing the bewilderment of Brahma from this angle and then trying to learn lessons from that. But from another angle, Brahmaji's bewilderment is also by the will of Krishna. That angle also we should remember. And we should be able to appreciate both angles nicely. Right? That's where Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva comes. So, Nitvan Yatra Kurudvaha. So, now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with ordinary boys. So, Trishtva Aghasura Mokshanam Prabhavataha. So, he has seen the Aghasura Mokshana Leela, Prabhavataha, by the all-potent personality of Godhead. So, Praptaha Param Vismayam. Praptaha, the Aghasura Mokshana created lot of excitement in so many devotees and denizens of heavenly planets also, but that created some other emotion in Brahmaji. That is Vismayam. He was astonished. He was bewildered. Param Vismayam. He was most astonished. He was extremely astonished. Arey, how can this happen? And he, on one side he kills Aghasura, and on the other side he is eating the jhuta of all these boys. So then he has made a decision. So the decision that is taken in bewildered situation will only lead to chaos. When we are bewildered or surprised, we can't just immediately take a decision. Relax for a while. After 1 hour, 2 hours, maybe 1 day, 2 days. Then you start thinking with a cool head and then pass a decision. So that is more sustainable decision. So he has decided, let me kidnap all these boys. So in this context, acharyas say that Brahmaji had a material birth. And Brahmaji's birth is glorified in various sections of Bhagavatam till now. He is Aja, he is born without a material father or material mother, he is special, he is like this, he is like that. Now in this context, Brahmaji's material birth is described by all acharyas. Prabhupada, Vishnachakrita Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they all say it is material birth. So anyone born through the material energy must be subject to 4 material deficiencies. See, Brahma, that is tendency to commit mistakes. Pramada, tendency to be illusion. Vipralipsa, tendency to cheat. Karnavapata, imperfect senses. So all these are attributed to Brahmaji in this context. So this is a context where Brahmaji's shortcomings or whatever bewilderment is discussed. In some other pastimes, Brahmaji's glory and spiritual potency, that will be discussed. So we should see both and take lessons for our application without offending Brahmaji. So many Bhagavatam episodes describe the mistakes of great souls, right? The shortcomings of great souls. So we should be able to learn from the shortcomings of great souls and then avoid some don'ts and then do some do's or whatever. So take the lesson, take the intended lesson for you without offending or minimizing the position of the personality who is under discussion. So this whole episode is like bewilderment of Brahmaji. So we should not minimize the position of Brahmaji, but we should accept lessons from Brahmaji's behavior. Same thing happens in Shivaji's bewilderment by Mohini Murti. Same thing happens when Pururava gets enchanted by Urvasi. Yayati gets enchanted by Devayani. And all these people, we should not offend them. We should not criticize or blaspheme them, but we should take the lesson. So those cowherd boys were just expansions of Krishna's personal self. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhi. So Krishna had a transcendental potency called Haladini Shakti. Krishna does not enjoy anything of this material world. Anything matter is not enjoyable or offerable to Krishna. Now, when Krishna is accepting the remnants of food offered by these gopas after they eat, we should understand that is a spiritual offering. It's not a material offering. Right? So the jhuta of the gopas and the jhuta of a materialistic human being here is not same. Right? Both can be called jhuta, but the difference is very vast. So sun and firefly, there is a lot of similarity in their qualities, but the differences are vast. Similarly, Brahmaji has some potency to create illusion, and Krishna also has potency to create illusion. Brahmaji has power to create, Krishna also has power to create. So like that, there are so many similarities between Brahmaji and Krishna, but the differences are very vast. The similarities are very less and differences are very vast. The magnitude to which Krishna can bewilder, Brahmaji cannot. The magnitude to which Krishna can create, Brahmaji cannot. Brahmaji struggles to create the details of this universe within one globe, and that too he depends every time to time, he depends on Krishna. In the beginning also, during the phase of every day, he depends on Krishna. In every day, multiple times he depends on Krishna. And thus somehow he manages to run the show within this universe. And Krishna, an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna, creates millions of universes and then maintains them bindas. Right? So there is a lot of difference between them. So just because I also do some activity, and the superior personality, a senior Vaishnava or Guru, Guru Maharaj or Krishna, whoever, they also do some activity. There may be similarity in the activities, but the differences we need to consider. He is also preaching, I am also preaching. Maybe preacher, who be preacher? Right? What is the difference? We both have same profile. The difference is the magnitude. There is a vastness in difference. Acharya highlight this point. Right? Firefly also can emanate light. And sun also can emanate light. There is a lot of difference. Right? Activities. So here what happened, Ananda Vrindavan Champu. So as one becomes a laughing stock, if he attempts to measure the extent of ocean with a yardstick, you take a scale, 15-inch scale, 30-centimeter scale lelo, and you go, I am going to measure the breadth of Pacific Ocean. Everybody will laugh. Anybody will laugh, right? Or someone will go and try to measure the sky. What are you doing? Like this. What are you doing? I am measuring the sky. Then also he will create a laughing stock out of him. That's what Brahmaji is doing now. Right? If one tries to measure the sky with his hand span, if one tries to measure the ocean with a yardstick, he is considered foolish. Right? Same thing Brahmaji is doing now. Brahma also made a laughing stock out of him by trying to test Krishna, bewilder Krishna. Let me play with Krishna. And he understands, I am playing with fire. Although that itch is there to test Krishna, but still he could not stay with that itch more than a moment. Within a minute he came here. That is 1 year here. But within a minute he said, hey, I was playing with Krishna, what's happened? Immediately came in a minute and thoroughly he got bewildered. A momentary itch to test Krishna can create unlimited bewilderment and unlimited embarrassment and humiliation. What to speak of a long-term attachment to test Krishna or act against the interests of Krishna. But if you see the episodes of so many demons, Shishupala, Dantavakra and Ravana, they created so much of havoc. Right? They tried to test Krishna and trouble Krishna in various ways. So they did out of ignorance, out of envy, out of negative intentions. So ultimately the Lord is kind towards them. Although they were also testing Krishna, they were also challenging Krishna, challenging the authority of Krishna, but when they did, when the demoniac people did, Krishna only felt compassionate towards them. And he killed them and he delivered them. Or to some people, like other people, he created transformation, he gave liberation, he had sent them to spiritual world, or he has given them their original situation, previous situations as Brahmanas or Gandharvas, etc., etc., all that he has done, deliverance he has done. But with knowledge, when a devotee also confronts with Krishna, challenges Krishna's authority, Krishna deals in a totally different way. Right? Krishna creates embarrassment for such a devotee. That's what happened with Brahmaji and Indra. So, knowingly doing something is on a different plane. Unknowingly doing something is little different. So, Krishna's dealings are little different with these two categories. You know more, we can discuss the differences at some other time. So, the way Brahmaji, Krishna dealt with Brahma and Indra, and the way Krishna dealt with Aghasur, Putana, Bakasur, they are different, although both are trying to challenge Krishna, right? So there is strictness in his dealing with his devotee. At the same time, there is unlimited forgiveness also. From one perspective, you see, Krishna killed the demons and Krishna forgave the devotees. Who? Aghasur, Indra and Brahma, he forgave ultimately. He did not punish them or do anything. And from another perspective, you see, Krishna delivered the demons and gave them very wonderful destinations, but Krishna created embarrassment for Indra and Brahmaji. You saw both opposite perspectives. Both are valid, right? So, we may not receive punishment, but the guilt that we undergo when we trouble Krishna is worse than punishment, is worse than death also. That's what Brahmaji has experienced, that's what Indra also experienced. Indra was thoroughly humiliated. He was unable to come in front of Krishna only. Then Sorabhi said, "Arey, aja yaar, come and then meet Krishna." Like that, Sorabhi was kind of encouraging Indra. And then Krishna said, "Okay, fine." So that, because these are all devotees, for a devotee, what is painful is a slightest trace of dissatisfaction in the master's mind can create tremendous amount of guilt and disappointment and discouragement in the heart of a devotee. That is the real punishment for him. Apparently, Krishna did not punish. So, we need to actually assess ourselves. We need to assess our spiritual advancement. One way of assessing our spiritual advancement is, how much guilt am I feeling when I am unable to serve my master, spiritual master, my guru. Or it could be representative spiritual master, it could be Krishna or deities or whatever. So if my inability to serve, my inability to do justice to the responsibility that is given to me is not causing any guilt in me, then something wrong there. One may or may not be able to do the service, but there should be some guilt that he should be experiencing if he is unable to do for some reasons, or if he has some shortcomings, if there are some attitudes of cutting corners, right? If there is some attitude of avoiding the services creeping in my mind, that should actually cause guilt. If there is an attitude of challenging somewhere, it's creeping in mind, then one should feel that guilt. If there is no guilt only, then Krishna will also not take us seriously. Simple. This fellow, it doesn't matter to him whether he does the service or not, whether I am happy with him or not, it doesn't make any difference to him. Then Yathamam Prapadyante principle works with every relationship, right? But if we are taking service seriously and our master's pleasure matters to us, then we feel guilt. That's what Brahmaji is undergoing now. Brahmaji undergoes tremendous amount of guilt. In the next chapter you will see. So then he discusses the difference. My dear Lord, where are you? An expansion of your expansion, Mahavishnu, creates millions of universes from his bodily pores. And how many universes will come? Just like from window screen, the sunshine will enter the room and then there are so many molecules that are seen there, you can't count them. Those many universes come out of Mahavishnu's body, who is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of your expansion. And within one of those small molecules, particles that just float in sunshine, that is like one universe, and within that I am a creator, Brahmaji. And where am I and where are you? So he immediately discusses the difference. So Brahmaji's prayers in 14th chapter are filled with tremendous amount of guilt and embarrassment and humiliation, right? And this is a result of what? For developing a challenging attitude towards Krishna and thinking that I want to test Krishna for one moment. He tested Krishna or he played with Krishna only for one moment from his calculation. It could be 1 year here. Okay, 1 year pakado, right? For 1 year, Brahmaji did something out of so many, out of a big scale of life. So that also created a lot of guilt in him. So we should also, and mistakes are there. Whether it is Brahmaji or a struggling sadhaka or a neophyte, whoever it is, they will do mistakes. So my mistake is creating guilt in me or not, right? But guilt should not be in such a way that one becomes totally discouraged and disappointed and then completely give up the process of devotional service only. Not that kind of guilt, that kind of exaggerated or too much sentimental, that kind of, not that way. So a healthy guilt that inspires you to take up the service more seriously than an unhealthy guilt that enables you to completely give up the service, right? So we are looking for certain, when we are unable to do some service, there should be a guilt, and that guilt should inspire us to take up the service more, with more responsibility, right, with more alertness. And that's what happens to Brahmaji. Brahmaji, you feel that, oh, I'm sorry, I will take care in future. That's what he says. So, anyone materially born is subject to bewilderment, including Brahma. That's why here Brahmaji's material birth is highlighted. Brahmaji, due to false ego, thought himself supreme creator and wanted to test Krishna. Krishna is creator. I am also creator. There is no difference in our profiles. Right? So after some time, this kind of mentality could creep in. Right? 16th verse. ततो वत्सान् अदृष्ट्यैव पुलुनेऽपि च वत्सपान् उभावपि वने कृष्णो विचिकाय समन्ततः.
Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the cows, he returned to the bank of river, but there he was also unable to see the cowherd boys. So he began to search for the cows and the boys, as if he could not understand what had happened.
As if he could not understand what had happened. So here only acharyas just go into a lot of explanation that it's not that Krishna has no ability to understand. Krishna can understand everything. But as if he does not understand, like an innocent child, as it is common for an innocent child, he is eating a lollipop and the lollipop fell down somewhere. Right? He is searching everywhere in anxiety. That's what Krishna is doing. Simple. Right? So this was a dramatic performance in a drama. In a very serious movie or a serial, whatever. So the artist, the player knows everything. But he is currently playing the role of searching somewhere. Right? So he is searching everywhere. So that creates a lot of rasa there. So, but still he plays on the stage in such a way that others do not understand him. And the more he lives in the role, the more excitement and feelings and emotions are created in the viewers, right? If a person in a drama, if someone is just absorbed in the role and then speaking the dialogue so nicely, all the audience also will get absorbed in the mood of that character and the pastime, right? Or if it is happening in a comedy drama, right? Spontaneous dramas happen, right, sometimes. So it's all comedy, the mood is not seen, only wherever mistakes are there, people will laugh, right? That's the only excitement in the entire drama. So, in that kind of drama, people can't be absorbed in mood. So, here Krishna is playing the role very wonderfully. He just gets absorbed. A player knows everything, but still he plays on the stage in such a way that others do not understand him. So, when I steal the boys and calves while Krishna shows some power, some wonderful pastimes, Brahmaji was thinking, when I steal the boys and calves, will Krishna show some power, some wonderful pastimes? Will he look or find the cows by himself or come to me and pray to get them back? He was thinking like that. Oh, Krishna, what does exactly he do? Let me just test. Will he come to me and then request me, just give me back? Will he pray to get them back? Or will he not be able to understand anything? Let me exactly see how he responds to this situation. Such thoughts were not possible except if Brahmaji is bewildered by Lord's energy. Because Krishna bewildered Brahmaji, that's why Brahmaji started thinking like that. How can Brahmaji, such a wonderful devotee, expect Krishna to come and pray in front of him, please give me calves back, please give me friends back? He was thinking like this only because of Krishna's bewilderment, like that. So, okay. 17th verse. Kvapya drishtantar vipine. Vatsan palamsya vishvavit. Sarvam vidhikritam krishna. Sahasa vajagamaha.
When Krishna was unable to find the cows and their caretakers, the cowherd boys, anywhere in the forest, he could suddenly understand that this was the work of Lord Brahma.
So Krishna could easily understand this was the work of Brahma. So here only Jiva Goswami writes beautiful comments. He could not see them in the forest. Krishna could not see the boys or calves in the forest. At noon time it was impossible that they would return to Vraja without him. Because how can all the boys leave Krishna alone and then go back? Although he's one boy. It is quite possible that 10 people go for a picnic or somewhere for a tour or for a stroll. Suddenly 9 people will just go out, 1 person may be left out. It's quite possible. But it's not happening. It doesn't happen with Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna cannot be one boy who is left out by his thousands of boys. All the thousands of boys are there. And that too, it's not the end of the day also for them to leave. So, like that. So, here, suddenly he understood everything. Because he was literally searching everywhere. And he, with a desire to understand, where are they? Where are my boys? Where are my calves? So, then what happened? Because of that desire, the Jnana Shakti remained on the side without interfering on seeing that Krishna was absorbed in pastimes of externally looking for the boys. So far, Jnana Shakti did not disturb Krishna. When the desire appeared in Krishna's mind to find them, that Ichha Shakti communicated to Jnana Shakti. Krishna has a desire to find them. Then Jnana Shakti came in front. Then approached him, seeing its opportunity for service. So we need to be ready for service. We may not be doing service. All the Shaktis have complete willingness and readiness for service. Whenever there is a need, I will be there. But when there is opportunity is not given, to wait and not to disturb the master is the main service. Right? So, Jnana Shakti came. This is because all Shaktis of the Lord are dependent on His Ichha Shakti, desire Shakti. So, Krishna wanted to find, then Jnana Shakti came there. So, Brahmaji was already bewildered by Krishna's activities as an innocent child. Now he is more bewildered, seeing Krishna searching everywhere. So, to increase the bewilderment of Brahmaji, who is already bewildered by seeing Krishna's jota eating pastimes, Krishna wanted to bewilder him more by searching everywhere. Although he can easily find. Although he already knows the answer. Tatah Krishna mudam kartum.
Tatah Krishna mudam kartum.
Tanmatrinam chakasyacha.
Tanmatrinam chakasyacha.
Ubhayayitam atmanam.
Ubhayayitam atmanam.
Chakre Vishwakridishwaraha.
Chakre Vishwakridishwaraha.
Thereafter, just to create the pleasure both for the Brahma and for the mothers of the cows and cowherd boys, Krishna, the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, expanded himself as the cows and boys.
Tataha Krishna mudam kartum. He wanted to create muda, happiness, pleasure. For whom? Tan matrinam, to all the mothers of Vrindavan. They are mothers not only of all these boys, Sridhama, Sudhama, Subala, etc., etc. They are mothers of Krishna also. Because they have motherly affection for Krishna also. Right? Tan matrinam, cha kasya cha. Kasya means Brahma. Kaha is Brahma. So he wanted to create some excitement and jubilation and happiness for both Brahmaji and all the mothers of Vrindavan. Mothers are not only human mothers. Mothers are cow mothers also. All the cows and gopis, elderly gopis. Ubhayayitam atmanam. And atmanam, himself also. He also should feel happiness, right? So, Krishna, whatever he does, he feels happy. Chakre Vishwakridishwaraha. Vishwakrid means he has created the entire universe. He has created multiple universes. For him to create few boys is not a big deal. That he can manifest. Through his internal potency can manifest. So, Prabhupada writes that Ekam Bahusyam, the personality of Godhead can become many, many millions upon millions of calves and cowherd boys. And he did it to bewilder Brahmaji more and more. So many stages of bewilderment. So, he wanted to give joy to Brahma since Brahma worships him with 18 syllable mantra. It should be understood that boys were bewildered by the will of Krishna, not by the power of Brahmaji's maya. 19th verse.
Yavad vatsapa vatsakalpa kavapur yavad karangriyadikam. यावद्यस्ति
विषाणवेणुदलसि यावद्विभूषाम्बरम् यावद्शीलगुणाभिदाकृतिवयो यावद्विहारादिकम् सर्वं विष्णुमयं गिरोऽङ्गवदजः सर्वस्वरूपो बभौ सो इन् दिस् वर्स् यावद् इस् कमिङ्ग् सिक्स् टैम्स् यावद् यावद् वत्सप वत्सप वत्स इस् काफ् वत्सप is one who takes care of calf. That is Gopa, cowherd boys. So Yavad Vatsapa, he exactly looked like all these cowherd boys. Because Krishna expanded himself to create excitement for Brahmaji and all mothers of Vrindavan and cows of Vrindavan and even towards himself. He expanded into millions of calves and millions of boys. How he expanded is explained in this verse. Yavad Vatsapa, exactly looking like the cowherd boys. Vatsaka alpaka vapuhu, and also as the calves with their tender bodies, right? That is alpaka vapur, very tender, small newborn calf is very tender in the body, very soft. So he became like that. Yavat karanghriyadikam, kara angri, just like whatever is the size and shape and complexion of their hands and legs. So Krishna took up those forms only. Right? Yavat karangri adhikam, etc., etc. Yavat yashti venu, yavat yashti vishana venu dalasik. He exactly replicated their bugles, flutes, sticks, lunch bags, cloths, their kind of turbans, the same colors that they are wearing, rainbow colors are there, no? Sometime back we discussed. He just exactly replicated all of them. Right. Then Yavad Vibhushanambaram. Vibhusha means all the whatever ornaments they are wearing, similar ornaments he created. Ambaram, same cloths. Yavad Shila Gunabhi. Now till this extent also there is not much surprise. You can create exact replica of their bodies and exact replica of their cloths and ornaments, etc. But here Yavad Shila Gunabhidakriti Vayo. Shila, their character, guna, their qualities and habits, akriti, their physical features, then vayo, their body, 5-year-old child, some 5-year-old children are, say, a little fat, some are thin, some are short, some are tall, like that. Like different boys, although they are of the same age, they are not like replicas of each other. They have their unique features. No two persons, no two boys will match. Right? Exactly. So Krishna replicated all of them. Yavad viharadikam, just their tastes also, their measurements also. Right? How, what are their mannerisms? Right? Everything. Sarvam, everything in detail. Vishnumayam, everything is an expansion of Lord Vishnu. So Vishnu is everywhere. And this Krishna did exactly around this time, sunset time, right? When all the cows would go back to their homes, so at that time he did. Sarvam Vishnumayam Gironga-vad Ajaha. Gira Angavad. Gira is this voice, right? So he created that also. Their accent also should match. Their vocabulary also should match. 5-year-old boy does not have much vocabulary. But some boys have more vocabulary, some boys have less vocabulary. So Krishna created that also. So Ajaha Krishna Sarvasvarupaha Babhau created everything in detail as himself without any change. But these are all Krishna's. They are all Krishna's expansions. He can expand himself into more forms than one can imagine. Yet his original form will remain as it is. Krishna as son of Yashoda and Nanda, as it is, right, as he is, went back to Nanda's house, and as Subala, Siridama, Sudama, then Madhumangal, he also went to their respective houses, right, with their mannerisms. So Krishna thus proved that he is everything. Still he is personally different from everything. Matsthane sarva bhutani. Sarvam vishnuvayam jagat. Sarvam khalumidam brahma. Prabhupada quotes all these points. So acharyavan purusho veda. One who follows the path of acharyas knows things as they are. Such a person can know Krishna as he is, at least to some extent. And as soon as one understands Krishna, janma karma jame divyam yevam yo vetti tattvataha, then he can be freed from material bondage. So this is the opulence of Krishna. He can replicate anyone and everyone. So that is the replication verse, 19th, 20th verse.
Svayamatmatma go vatsan.
Svayamatmatma go vatsan.
Prativaryatma vatsapaihi.
Prativaryatma vatsapaihi.
Kridan atma viharaischa.
Kridan atma viharaischa.
Sarvatma pravishadvrajam.
Sarvatma pravishadvrajam.
Now expanding himself so as to appear as all the calls and coward boys, all of them as they were, and at the same time appear as their leader, Krishna entered Vrajabhumi, the land of his father, Nanda Maharaj, just as he usually did while enjoying their company.
He is the leader, he is the follower, he is the maintainer, he is maintained, right? He is dependent and he is independent also. So like that, Krishna is everything. This one particular small episode can give us this, can explain this concept of achintya bheda abheda. So he is only enjoying the association of all these gopas, and he is only taking his own association also. So everything is Krishna, everything is an expansion of Krishna. So that, and that is the concept of entire cosmic manifestation. A small preview or trailer of that is given in this one episode, right? Everything is Krishna, right? So there is oneness. At the same time, there is uniqueness also. This boy, whoever is standing in front of Krishna, or this calf, whoever is standing in front of Krishna, that boy has unique dealings with his parents. So different boys would remember different incidents. So 5 years, they are all 5 years old. In their houses, some kind of incidents and exchanges could have happened in their houses, right? They may be having certain tastes. They may be having some quarrels with their brothers. They may be having some other fight with their grandmother or grandfather, with father or mother. They must be becoming naughty in certain aspects. So all that remembrance is also Krishna replicated, right? And that is Krishna also. And that boy is Krishna only, with all the remembrances and all the swabhava of that boy. So like that, Krishna created. So they had the same behavior towards their parents, with remembrance of their previous actions. Say some boys are very close to mothers, some boys are close to fathers, right? But when Krishna expanded himself into so many people, so he also replicated that, right? That kind of mannerism, that kind of closeness, their previous actions. He took all these forms because he was everything material and spiritual. Everything is he only. Though one person, by his inconceivable power, he was different and non-different. Since he was all the calves and boys and also separate from them. Krishna is separately existing also. So when the calf is just running away, that running away calf is also Krishna. And Krishna is running behind the calf to catch it and then take him back. That is also Krishna. And all the calves are just spread everywhere, eating grasses. And towards the end of the day, Krishna has to climb on the tree and then play some flute, different ragas to attract all the calves back. So Krishna does it. So who is playing the flute? Krishna. Who is getting attracted by the flute? Krishna only. Right, who is calling? Krishna. Who is being called? Krishna. Right, so it's like that. And who is taking all of them back home? Krishna. And after that, all these cows will receive all the calves. Calves will just raise their tails and then run towards the mother. And then mother is also very happy and enthusiastic to meet the calf. So, and calf starts licking the mother, mother starts licking the calf. And it's all Krishna, exchanges with Krishna. Right. So he is separate from them also, and he is having unique exchanges with Nanda Maharaj also. And Krishna went with all these boys and calves to Vrindavan. So Ananda Vrindavan Champu says that as soon as Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna, immediately Krishna just jumped towards Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj just picked up Krishna and then lifted Krishna and embraced Krishna. And
Nanda Maharaj was thinking that my beard might cause some disturbance or some irritation, inconvenience to Krishna's soft face. So he was having that concern, Nanda Maharaj. Nevertheless, Nanda Maharaj took out the turban of Krishna and then smelled his head and then embraced him and kissed him. Right? So then Nanda Maharaj was experiencing this sweet Vatsalya Rasa with Krishna, pouring out his affection. Suddenly Krishna jumps off the lap of Nanda Maharaj and then runs towards Yashodamai. And Nanda Maharaj had tears in his eyes. I mean, tears of affection only, not that he is not happy that Krishna is running away and towards Yashodamai. But so Krishna is just like a small ordinary boy only. So sometimes boys are in the lap of mother and suddenly father comes from outside. And then they just jump off mother's lap and then go and embrace father. And here Nanda Maharaj is the first person to receive Krishna. And then as soon as he saw Yashodamai, who is coming from inside the house, Yashodamai just jumped off the lap. Krishna jumped off the lap and went to embrace Yashodamai. So like that. So Krishna's face was so delicate. Nanda Maharaj was very cautious not to scratch the face of Krishna with his beard. Like that. So all the limbs, including head, hair, nails, odor, voice, complexion were similar. Their ornaments, internal qualities like peacefulness, talkativeness, skillfulness were also similar. Right? Some people may play flute nicely, Krishna also would play, that much only. Just because he has more skill, he does not exhibit that skill more than what the boy has already exhibited so far. Right? Whatever is the growth when the boy was actually present there, that much growth only he manifested in this 1 year. And he was reciprocating with all these mothers. So their qualities like compassion and their names or words and actions were all similar. So like that, a elaborate list is given. By being all these separate forms, Krishna was both different and non-different from them. Are they Krishna? Yes, of course they are Krishna. Are they boys? Of course they are boys also. That is Achintya Bheda Bheda. That is Achintya Bheda Bheda. So seemingly he was surrounded by devotees. Now, you know, Krishna is aware of all this. You are completely aware that it doesn't happen with us also. You are only associating with yourself. You know there is no one around me except me. And you imagine that there are 1,000 people around me and I am having exchanges with them. Only Krishna can do it. There are 1,000 boys who are Krishna only. They were standing in front of Krishna. They were sitting in front of Krishna. They were playing with Krishna. They were having quarrel with Krishna. They are wrestling with Krishna. Who is defeated? Krishna is defeated. Who is winner? Krishna is only winner. You are playing chess. Simple. You play from the other side. You play from this side also. Right? You know what is his next move. He is you only. You know what move you will put from other side. You know what move you have to put from this side. There is no machine control now. In laptops also they put some chess, right? Not like that. Live board. So now there is no excitement in that kind of play. Right? But Krishna can enjoy to the maximum possible extent. Because not only that Krishna is doing his activities with the gopas and calves in the forest, he is also relishing those activities with the mothers and fathers in Vrindavan during the night time. Daytime he is with himself alone, but night time with all these people also. And second point is, because Brahmaji has kidnapped all these boys and calves, Krishna is feeling so much separation from them. And boys also would feel so much separation, but boys are in trance so that they don't understand that by Krishna's will. But Krishna would feel separation, right? He's conscious. So for that, Krishna has created a replica of all these boys through his energy and he kept in front of them so that he doesn't feel separation. Right? For example, when the lover feels separation from the beloved, the lover keeps a photo, wallpaper. Right? So then they see the wallpaper, okay. Sometimes they may speak also to the wallpaper and they may keep it aside. So like that, Krishna is keeping live boys with same mannerisms. To what extent Krishna can mitigate his feelings of separation also you can see here. Your feeling separation, he can pacify that separation by creating exact replica of that person, who is himself only. So that is Krishna. That's what Mahaprabhu's incarnation is also like that only. It's inconceivable how Krishna does it. unless you accept that Krishna has inconceivable potencies, you can't make any sense out of this whole state, his whole pastime only. So, it is Krishna who is being served by Srimati Radharani. And Radharani is experiencing more ecstasy, more happiness in her service towards Krishna. And Krishna wants to understand what is her happiness. What is she feeling when she is, how does she feel when she experiences, when she does service to me. So her experience of happiness is 10 million times more than my happiness. So like that Krishna started feeling. So he wants to become Radharani. Unless I become Radharani, I cannot experience what she is experiencing. So he becomes Radharani. Right? He adopts the mood of Radharani and he starts feeling separation from his own self. How can it happen? Kaviraj Goswami raises an argument that it is totally inconceivable. Here one person is adopting the emotions of other person, complexion of other person. Complexion, okay, understand. Emotion? Okay, emotion you imbibe of the other person and you start feeling separation from your own self. That's another point. Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radharani, is feeling separation from Krishna. And who is Mahaprabhu? Krishna only. Unless we accept Krishna's inconceivable potency, this Chaitanya Tattva also doesn't make sense to you. Krishna is Mahaprabhu and he is in the mood of Radharani and Mahaprabhu is feeling separation from Krishna, who is his own self. Right? Now, seemingly Krishna is surrounded by devotees and then he is having these exchanges. Now, in this purport, Prabhupada writes, he was ordering his friends to do this and that. Who is taking the order? Krishna. Who is giving the order? Krishna. And he was controlling the calves and going into the forest to search them when they went astray, eluded by new grass. Who is getting eluded by new grass? Krishna. Who is searching them? Krishna. But these calves and boys were he himself. That was Krishna's inconceivable potency. And Prabhupada also quoted here, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vrikyatir Shladini Shakti Rasmat. Krishna and Radha are same. Now we discussed about Mahaprabhu. Now Radha Krishna are also same only. So Krishna, by expanding his pleasure potency, becomes Radharani. The same pleasure potency, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, was expanded by Krishna when he himself became the calves and boys and enjoyed transcendental bliss in Vrajabhumi.
Maharaj
Parikshit, Krishna, who had divided himself as different cows and also as different cowherd boys, entered different cowshares as the cows. And then different homes are the different boys.
So he entered into different cowsheds. So when Krishna entered and all the boys entered the Vrindavan, so the boys would play their horns or their flutes, or they make all sounds. Whenever a small child enters the house, you can just imagine what all indications he can give to the mother and father. So just by hearing the horns and bugles and flutes, all the mothers fainted. Then suddenly they got up also. They got up and milk flowed from their bodies and lot of emotions towards their sons just invoked in their hearts and they embraced the sons. So today it's little special. Today is not receiving their own sons. Today they're receiving Krishna. So there was a very special experience that all these mothers of Vrindavan and cows of Vrindavan are experiencing. Let's see.
Tanmataro Venu Ravat Tvarothita
Tanmataro Venu Ravat Tvarothita
Uthapya Dorbhihi Parirabhya Nirbhritam
Uthapya Dorbhihi Parirabhya Nirbharam
Snehasnutat stanyapayaha sudhasavam
Snehasnutat stanyapayaha sudhasavam
Matvaparam brahmasutan apayayan
Matvaparam brahmasutan apayayan.
The mothers of the boys, upon hearing the sound of the flutes and bugles being played by their sons, immediately rose from their household task lifted their boys onto their laps, embraced them with both arms, and began to feed them their breast milk, which flowed forth because of extreme love, specifically for Krishna. Actually, Krishna is everything, but at that time, expressing extreme love and affection, they took special pleasure in feeding Krishna. The Parabrahman and Krishna drank the milk from his respective mothers as if it were a nectarian beverage.
Tan mataro venu ravatvarodhita. It seems that all these boys also had their flutes and other instruments, simple village instruments like guzzles, etc., to indicate their arrival at their homes. Tan mataraha, the mothers of respective boys, venu rava, because of the sounds of flutes and bugles that the boys are making, tvara uttitaha, they were awakened from their respective household duties, and tvara, with great anxiety, in great haste, they ran towards Krishna. Right? Uttapya, immediately lifted their respective sons. They just lifted, these 5-year-old boys only. So, dorbhihi parirabhya, with their two arms, they started embracing their sons. So, nirbharam, without feeling any weight. So, when you are lifting a beloved object, you don't feel weight. Now, say a boy is 10 kilos, a small boy, 5-year-old boy or whatever, he may be 10 kilos or 15 kilos. The mother or the father will lift that boy and then hold that boy. Maybe for 1 hour they are just roaming around. Take equal amount of weight, say 15 kilo bag, right? Put it on the shoulder. He doesn't feel like lifting it and then roaming around like it, like this, like this, like this, like this. That doesn't happen. He wants to keep it separately because there is love there, love associated. So, sneha snuta, which was flowing because of intense love. Stanya payaha. So, the milk from their bodies would flow out of their love and affection. And today there is a special affection because it is Krishna. All the mothers of Vrindavan, they were so appreciative of Mother Yashoda's position that, oh, Yashoda is such a wonderful and fortunate personality. She became the mother of Krishna. So, if only we also had that opportunity, then we can also caress Krishna, we can also feed Krishna, we can also bathe Krishna, we can also serve Krishna in various ways. So, like that, all these gopis were thinking, and none of them were envious of Mother Yashoda. They were simply appreciating the position of Mother Yashoda. They were proud of Mother Yashoda. They were happy that Mother Yashoda had this kind of opportunity, but they were also desiring that kind of opportunity. So to desire to render a privileged service to Krishna is not wrong. But to be envious of a devotee who does that service, that is wrong. All the gopas, all the gopis, they were very proud of Mother Yashoda. They were fortunate to have Mother Yashoda in their community, right? And they had equal affection like Mother Yashoda only towards Krishna. They love Krishna more than their own children. And for namesake, they have their houses, they have their own household duties, and then they do butter also, they churn buttermilk, etc., all that they do. But most of the time they spend in Yashoda's house. And especially when Krishna was an infant, especially in Gokul Mahavan, all the elderly gopis, neighboring gopis, they would spend a lot of time at Mother Yashoda's house only. And in fact, their love for Krishna is so much that sometimes they would even chastise Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda is the queen of Vrindavan, and they are all like citizens of that Vrindavan village. But Yashoda also has the simplicity and innocence to accept the chastisement. Yashoda Mai, what she was doing, she was lifting Krishna like this, and she was playing with Krishna, and immediately Krishna wanted to go high. So, Trinavarta manifested. He was about to come. But Krishna wanted to keep Mother Yashoda out of this scene. Because Yashoda might be affected. When Trinavarta comes, this whirlwind, and then Mother Yashoda also might get affected. So, Mother should not be around. So, Krishna inspired Mother Yashoda to go without any anxiety and do her household activities. So, Mother Yashoda just kept him on the ground. She felt that if I keep him on the cot might break, because this fellow is so heavy, like a mountain peak. Suddenly this boy has become so heavy. So Krishna was kept on the ground, and Mother Yashoda very unusually, unassumingly, she went inside to call some brahmanas and do her household activities without feeling any anxiety for Krishna, who was alone in the courtyard. So it's all Krishna's will only. Tranavarta came and lifted Krishna, and to cut the long story short, mothers are all very much anxious. Everybody joined Mother Yashoda and started crying profusely, very piteously they were crying. So Krishna realized, after going 800,000 miles high, Krishna realized that my mothers are very unhappy. So he decided, I'll come down. Then he killed Tranavarta, he choked him off, and then he fell on a stone slab right next to these mothers. Because he knows entire Vrindavan is anxious for my protection, but I have to first pacify my mothers. First, I have to pacify gopis. Gopas also love me, but gopis' love for Krishna is like more. So Krishna wanted to pacify them. So he fell. This Tranavarta fell, all his limbs got dislocated, and Krishna was happily playing on the chest of Tranavarta. So now you see, suddenly a big, huge demon, he just fell there. Which woman would have the daring to just go towards that demon? Such a fierce and ghastly form is lying there, and you have something there, but you don't feel like going there. Hey, careful, careful. Now there is fire there, right? Your object, your mobile is there, and there is fire there. You may feel like going, but you are fearful of fire also. You may be taking some care, right? So none of the gopis, they exhibited even slightest trace of fear to approach Trinavarta's dead body. They just went straight to Trinavarta's dead body, just picked up Krishna immediately. Their love and affection towards Krishna was not allowing them to stop only. So inside there is like a Ganga flow. Their minds are attracted to Krishna. So far they are unable to see Krishna. Now they could see Krishna. Immediately they went and then picked up Krishna and brought Krishna to Mother Yashoda. And they started chastising Yashoda. Yashoda, you have no right to touch this infant baby. Who left the baby alone, right, in the courtyard? How can you just take care of your household duties just by leaving Krishna like that? You have no right to touch this baby. Like that, all of them started chastising Yashoda. And Yashoda was crying piteously, and then innocently she said that actually he became very heavy, like a mountain peak. I could not bear his weight. I could not keep him on the cot also. So helplessly I had to keep him down. Actually I wanted to go inside and then call for the brahmanas so that they can chant some protection mantras, etc. That's why I did that. Then again they started chastising. You don't lie, Mother Yashoda. So this boy is as light as a flower. How can you call him that he's as heavy as a mountain peak? And they didn't know, na? They didn't know what Mother Yashoda experienced. So they are chastising. And Yashoda also she was totally devastated and bewildered. Suddenly Krishna was not there for a while, and suddenly he manifested. She doesn't know whether she has to be happy or shocked or astonished or morose or cry or respond to this chastisement. But the thought that I am queen, relax, right? I am queen of Vrindavan. You are supposed to respect me, and he is my son. Right? How can you say that I don't have right? Like, she didn't get into that also. She accepted that. She acknowledged their love for Krishna. So this is the love of all mothers, all Vraja gopis towards Krishna, motherly gopis. Then Yashodamai cried and then told Rohini, I got only one son. I don't have so many sons also. And towards that one son only, there are so many calamities coming. So many demons want to abduct my son. Maybe Gandharvis, they are very much enchanted by my son. They thought that my son is like a blue lotus flower. That's why they just wanted to pick him up and then decorate their braids. Or some Naga ladies, they must be thinking that my son is like a blue Nilamani. So they wanted to pick him and then keep them on their hoods. Or some other Rakshasis may want to kidnap my son, right? Some other Apsaras might have thought that he's a valuable object. They wanted to use him for some other purpose. Or some witch may want to allure my son. Or my son is not very pleased with my motherly affection, so he went away from me
thinking that I'll find some other mother. So like that, Yashodamayi in a derangement, she started lamenting like anything. Then she said, if I have an opportunity, I will just take my son Krishna and go to the abode of fearlessness. I can't stay here. Right? So like that she was thinking. So this whole thing is an acknowledgement to the gopis' affection towards Krishna, not only Yashoda, not only Rohini and so many other elderly gopis of Vrindavan. Now Krishna noticed all this. When Putana took Krishna away, and she did not take, she was feeding milk, and then because he was sucking the life air of Putana also, she just went and then she fell in Kamsa's garden, destroying all his trees. So then Putana died. All the mothers, they just ran towards Krishna and then picked up Krishna and then gave her to Yashodamayi. At that time, Yashoda and Rohini were totally in shock. They were completely shocked. Krishna was 6 days old at that time. A 6 day old baby, he is just abducted by some witch. So they were in shock, they could not do anything. All the elderly gopis, they came and they started doing so many mantras. They took cow's tail and then started doing upcharas or something like that for Krishna, purificatory ceremonies for Krishna. They took cow urine and bathed Krishna. They took cow dust and then applied on Krishna. They took cow dung and then did 12 tilaks on Krishna's body. So all the purificatory ceremonies are done by neighboring gopis, not Yashoda or not Rohini. So it's not only that Krishna is loved by Mother Yashoda in Vatsalya Rasa. All the elderly gopis of Vrindavan also love Krishna as much as Yashoda. And in fact, they love Krishna more than their own sons. And Krishna loves Yashodamayi and Rohini and all the elderly gopis of Vrindavan also as much as them only. But there is some slight difference, right? So this is the extent to which there is love and affection, Vatsalya Prema, between Krishna and the elderly gopis also. Now, in this 1 year, they are getting that fruit. Fruit means they are getting that opportunity to personally caress Krishna, bathe Krishna, decorate Krishna, put tilak to Krishna, kasturi tilakam, lalata falake, and tie turban to Krishna, tie waist cloth to Krishna, show mirror to Krishna. But in their own forms, in their own children's forms, they are all Krishna's only. And all the younger gopis, girls, they also love Krishna so much. Now they started looking at all these boys, they are also Krishna, they are also attracted. So during this 1 year only, all the younger gopis, girls, they got married to these boys who were Krishna. So all the younger gopis who loved Krishna, they got the opportunity to become wives of Krishna when Krishna was manifesting himself in the form of all these boys in this 1 year. So this is what has happened. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. Nanda Gopa Vrajokasam Yan Mitram Paramanandam Purna Brahma Sanatanam. I think Jiva Goswami or Sanatana Goswami quote this verse in this commentary. Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam. 22nd verse. 22nd verse. Jiva Goswami quotes. Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam. Nanda Gopa Vrajokasam. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune. I mean, who is saying this? Brahmaji is saying there is no limit. Because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman has become their friend. Yan mitram paramanandam. Purna brahma sanatanam. So, uttapya dorbhihi parirabhya nirbharam sneha snutas tanya payaha sudhasavam. Sudhasavam. Asavam. It's their milk that is coming out of their bodies is like nectar. Right, it's not like ordinary milk. That milk is a transformation of their love. Right, so all Yashodama is giving milk to Krishna daily, but all the other gopis, they don't have much opportunity. Sometimes Rohini gives milk to Krishna. Sometimes Yashoda feeds her breast milk to Balramji. Sometimes Rohini feeds her milk to Krishna also. Sometimes that exchange also happens between them, but that is within their community. But here, all the other mothers also got that opportunity. Matva param brahma sutan sutan apayayan. So
here Brahma refers to Krishna, not Brahmaji. So this is Brahma Sutanapayan, means they started feeding milk to Krishna, who is in the form of their own sons, right? So this was the inner ambition. No, Krishna is reciprocated. While thus bewildering Brahma, he enjoyed the special transcendental pleasure created by Yoga Maya between all the other mothers and himself. So 23rd verse.
Tato nrupon mardana majjalepana.
Tato nrupon mardana majjalepana.
Alankara raksha tilakasanadibhi.
लंकार लक्षा तिलकासनादिभि संलालितः स्वचिरतैः प्रहर्षयन्
सायं गतो यामयमेन माधव
Thereafter,
O Maharaj Parikshit, as required according to the scheduled round of his pastimes, Krishna returned to evening, entered the house of each of the coward boys, engage exactly like the former boys, thus enlivening their mothers with the transcendental pleasures. The mothers took care of the boys by the massaging them with oil, bathing them, smearing their bodies with the sandalwood pulps, decorating them with the ornaments, chanting protection mantras, decorating their bodies with the tilaka and giving them food. In this way, the mothers served Krishna personally.
So, tato rupon mardana majja lepana. So, mardana. Mardana means this massage. So the boys are massaged with oil by their mothers. Then majja by bathing. Lepana by smearing their body with sandalwood lep. Sandalwood pulp. Then alankara, they decorated them with ornaments. Raksha by chanting protective mantras. Tilaka, they are putting tilak in 12 places of his body. Ashana adibihi, and they started feeding sumptuously. So all these upacharas, the pujaris would do in the altar. They apply oil to Krishna's body, they bathe Krishna's body, and they decorate Krishna's body, they dress body, they put tilak or not tilak, will be painting something. So ashana adibihi, they also feed him sumptuously. Okay, samlalitaha, in this way they cared for Krishna. Hari Hari, the first train.